The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
I'm white trash. I only eat at restaurants with deep fried appetizers. So I know I'm not the Lexus.
What do you mean you're white trash?
Well, I'm just joking.
No, but what does that mean? You don't joke about that. What does that mean you're white trash?
I grew up in a small town and
does that make you white trash? Do you feel you're white trash?
Sometimes
that's
I do.
That's a pretty stinking statement.
But
don't you think that's a pretty bad statement about yourself?
No, not necessarily. I don't think
people... Do you go around calling yourself white trash?
Do you think I
want to hire somebody that's white trash?
No. I say it as a joke sometimes.
I don't like it as a joke. You know what, Derek? You're fired.
Flashback. There's Donald Trump from the 1990s sometime. Sticking up for the deplorables. Sticking up for the little guy. He didn't like that term, white trash. And people wonder, after all these years later, why the deplorables, the little guy, why they still... love Donald Trump. You're listening to Stephen Fleury. This is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show. You can get to the live video stream of this program at TrumpetDaily.com or at the Rumble channel. Just go to Rumble.com/TrumpetDaily. If you're at Rumble, make sure you leave us the thumbs up or a nice comment down below. Lots to get to on today's show. The rising popularity of Donald John Trump. It continues. What a story this has been from 2024 as we come near to the end of this calendar year. Of course, we've got all the montages lined up for next week. You can look forward to that. It's been quite the year. And this story, right at the top of the list, the man who withstood every possible attack you could imagine, political and otherwise, he took a bullet for the deplorables. He took a bullet for the white trash. And now he's soon to be president. He's already behaving like one. This is from Byron York. Trump is under attack less. His popularity is rising. What will the resistance do? What's the resistance going to do next? Have they run out of options? He says here, December 6th was a historic day. It was the first time since July 2015, since Donald Trump entered presidential politics, that more people have said they have a favorable impression of Trump than an unfavorable one. All these years later, 9 years on from when he first came down the escalator, and more popular than ever. Take that, regime media. We'll get to them in just a second. Their ratings, they're plummeting. CNN, MSNBC, all of them. It says here, all that time from Trump's first Republican primary campaign to the 2016 general election, to his years as president, to his defeat in 2020, to his, and of course you put an asterisk with that, to his post-presidential years, to his comeback in 2024. In all that time, Trump has been underwater in the Real Clear Politics average of polls measuring favorability and unfavorability. Now, for the first time, he's above the water in positive poll territory. As of December 6th, this month, just a few weeks ago, it says, meanwhile, some of Trump's attackers have gone relatively silent. Their silence at the moment, the resistance is confined to routine opposition to Trump on Capitol Hill, is allowing Trump to govern. We know he's going to be leading a resurgence. And so when you see the opposition silenced, when you see Barack Obama silenced, we've got more on that on today's show as well. Just a remarkable year in so many different respects. I mean, fulfilled prophecy all the way through. Victor Davis Hanson, What was so different this time about Trump's election? It says, in the weeks before the 2016 Trump Electoral College victory, Trump was polling between 35 and 40%. He would average only about 41% approval over his tumultuous four-year tenure. No one knows what lies ahead over the next 4 years, but for now, Trump already polls at well over 50% approval. Over 50%. Victor Davis Hanson says, in the Trump administration's last summer of 2020, 120 days of riot, arson, looting, assault, and murder followed with the denouement of the January 6th turmoil. It says, in contrast, during the 2024-25 transition, Trump has all but assumed the presidency. Over 100 foreign leaders have elbowed each other to be invited to Mar-a-Lago or to phone in their congratulations to the newly elected Trump. Even world leaders love him, or at least they respect him. He made those comments the other day about the Panama Canal, saying, if you don't stop ripping us off, we're just going to take it back. Notice this one from the New York Post. The number of migrants traversing the treacherous Darien Gap in the hopes of making it to the United States has plummeted as Panama's right-wing president, Jose Mulino, cracks down on the major migration route. I mean, Panama could essentially choke off the flow. And now they're behaving in a way that obviously suggests they're trying to please Donald Trump. It says, crossings through the 70-mile stretch of jungle, the only land bridge between South and Central America, dropped by 40% this year to about 300,000, the country's security minister told the Wall Street Journal. It's down 40% already, and Trump's not even in office. Panama's shaping up. Trudeau, he made the pilgrimage to Mar-a-Lago after the threat of tariffs. Back to this Victor Davis Hanson piece. It says, so why is newly elected Trump a veritable cultural hero in 2024 in a fashion unimaginable 8 years ago when the media had rendered him a near demon? It says, one, Trump is now seen as a welcome relief. You've got, as one of the clips we played recently noted, you've got two side-by-side administrations. You've got Donald Trump, he actually has a track record, and then you've got the fake president, Joe Biden, and all of the bitter affliction that he's given this nation, the dear leader working behind the scenes. His energy offers a sharp contrast to Biden. And then the third reason that VDH gives, Trump is grudgingly admired now even by some of his enemies who once sought but failed to destroy him. They failed in this fight. They've been defeated. They're like a prize fighter that got knocked out, stunned by a blow to the head. Obama, as I say, his part, he's been silenced. Look at how much strength Donald Trump is projecting. Yesterday, he had a Christmas message for quite a few people where he said, including to the wonderful soldiers of China who are lovingly but illegally operating the Panama Canal, where we lost 38,000 people in its building 110 years ago, always making certain that the United States puts in billions of dollars to repair money, but will have absolutely nothing to say about anything. It says also he sends greetings to Governor Justin Trudeau of Canada, whose citizens' taxes are far too high. But if Canada has to become our 51st state, their taxes would be cut by more than 60%. Their businesses would immediately double in size, and they would be militarily protected like no other country anywhere in the world. I mean, he's saying a lot of this tongue-in-cheek, but it projects power. It has an impact, as we're seeing. He says, likewise, to the people of Greenland, which is needed by the United States for national security purposes, and who want the U.S. to be there, and we will. He keeps saying it. People think it's a joke. I guess he's looking at quite a few options for the 51st state. A resurgence is coming. And Ephraim. Ephraim is going to, as Hosea 5 and verse 11 says, Ephraim's going to be on board with that Jeroboam tide. This is from Breitbart. It says here, Nigel Farage's Reform UK party has now overtaken the UK's traditional party of government, the Conservatives, in membership, crossing the historic threshold weeks sooner than expected. So Nigel Farage, a friend of Trump, he's on the rise in the UK. Trudeau's ship is sinking in Canada. It says here, the most recent public figures for paid up full members of the Conservative Party, certainly the oldest political party in the UK and possibly the oldest political party in the world, put it at 131,000 in November. Well, it just gives some of the facts and figures. But Nigel Farage is on the rise, the Reform Party in the UK, gaining popularity. Meanwhile, you look at the ratings of the big cable news networks here in the United States, and they're just, well, since November 5, they're just plummeting. This is from the Washington Post. It says, people look at the performance of, well, it quotes this exchange about the low approval ratings of congressional members. And then it says, what about the media? It says, television executives are also wondering what's going on. The questions are particularly loud at CNN, which has seen a decline in viewership over the past few years, a trend that accelerated after the November 5 election. It says, since the election, CNN has seen a 45% drop in primetime viewership, down to only 394,000 total viewers. Overall, this year, CNN has had its worst ever performance among viewers in the key demographic. Worst ever. I mean, you could argue back in 2016, when Trump 1.0 was coming on the scene, that he actually helped the ratings for MSNBC and CNN. Not so this time around. People have given up on these obvious biased and partisan networks. The Associated Press says here, Americans are exhausted by political news, TV ratings, and the new AP poll show they're tuning out. It says, after election night through December 13, the primetime viewership of MSNBC was an average of 620,000, down 54% from the pre-election audience this year. It says at Fox News Channel, a favorite news network for Trump fans, the post-election average of 2.68 million viewers is up 13%. So all of them except Fox News, plummeting. Their audiences have disappeared. This is from Renewed Right, a website. It says MSNBC and CNN's ratings plummeted to their lowest levels in 30 years following Kamala Harris's defeat. CNN, 40% drop. MSNBC, 53% drop, it says here. And both networks haven't hit rock bottom. They're going lower, even. It talks about this new cable news channel, News Nation, it's called. It's been around for 3 years. And it only added 24-hour programming back in June of this year. This article says, founder Dan Abrams wanted to position the network as a centrist alternative to CNN and MSNBC. The bet that Americans wanted real news instead of left-wing propaganda paid off. News Nation beat, listen to this, News Nation beat MSNBC in the ratings despite MSNBC having a 25-year head start. That just happened the other week. News Nation surpassed MSNBC. That's how bad it is for these propaganda networks. It says on Saturday, News Nation topped MSNBC in the key 25 to 54 demographic for a total of 6 hours with the noon Eastern hour And then from 2 p.m. to 7 p.m. Eastern, it's pretty bad when you're being beaten in the polls by News Nation. People are tired of the lies. They're tired of the propaganda. And so they're leaving in droves. And it's all the more so now because of what's been exposed about the radical left, Kamala Harris, Joe Biden, the dear leader. This article here from American First Legal, it's actually covered in Red State, but it says, photos of Hunter and Joe Biden meeting with Chinese officials emerge. Massive cover-up exposed. This group, American First Legal, they had to put in a FOIA request just to get these photos released. Because the Biden crime family has been so good at covering up the truth about their crimes. It says here, what can't be hand-waved away is that Joe Biden was then pictured meeting with Hunter Biden's business associates, including Chinese businessman Jonathan Lee. It says, for those unacquainted with Lee, he and the Bidens helped arrange the transfer of stealth technology to a blacklisted Chinese military manufacturer. No, that's not the plot line of a movie. That actually happened. And there's been zero accountability in the aftermath of those revelations. It says here, notably, lawyers representing Joe Biden and Barack Obama worked with the National Archives to stop these photos from being released before the 2024 election. That alone would be treated as a major news story if we were talking about a Republican. The size of the cover-up here is immense, spanning former and current presidents along with U.S. federal agencies. They're all in on it. The deep state is deep. The cover-up, you can see why. There's many on Trump's team calling for justice, or in the case of Steve Bannon, retribution. Listen to him at AmFest the other night, clip 3.
And that's true, because President Trump's a kind-hearted man. President Trump's a good man. Okay, I'm not that kind-hearted, and I'm not that good. I want good old-fashioned Old Testament retribution, okay? I want to go after, with Mike Davis, the vast criminal conspiracy that for the last 4 years tried to bankrupt Donald Trump, tried to imprison Donald Trump, tried to assassinate Donald Trump. That's what we're going to go after. We're going to investigate it, and we're going to put all the guilty in prison where they belong so they can never do it again.
Well, let's hope that the criminals are put in prison. That's where they belong. They tried to bankrupt him. They tried to kill him. Before that, they tried to imprison him. And now he's as popular as ever. They couldn't do it. They couldn't blot him out. God didn't let it happen. God wouldn't let it happen. This was Tucker Carlson, also at that AmFest event, clip 2.
The people who've been running things are absolutely paranoid and afraid. And it's not just Democrats, by the way. It's Mitch McConnell in the Senate. It's a number of Republican senators who have collaborated with the regime for years, many, many years, and they are really afraid. And the main thing they're afraid of is disclosure. The system operates on secrecy. So secrecy allows people to do things which, if known, they could not do. Evil thrives in darkness. We know this. And so the whole system is set up to keep you from knowing what they're doing. And they use classification laws in order to do that. And they fear that if Donald Trump's appointments go through and Donald Trump's people get in charge of the government and get control of the levers, that they will reveal to the country what has been happening. Well, these election results, if you look at them, and I would recommend everyone do so, not just because you love Trump, but because the long era of darkness is over, actually. It's over.
Evil thrives in darkness. And again, you can study into John 8, John 3 in particular, where Jesus said that men love darkness because their deeds are evil. They love committing evil acts under the cover of darkness, shrouded in secrecy, just like Tucker's explaining there. And that's what Barack Obama's government has been getting away with since 2009. It's not that corrupt government officials came on the scene at that year only, or after that year. Obviously, there's always been corruption and evil. But Barack Obama's taking it, he has taken it to another level, thoroughly weaponized these many agencies, and they operated. They operated under the cover of darkness for years and years and years, and very nearly destroyed Donald Trump. And it was only God's hand that prevented that from happening. You can look at 2 Kings 14. You can study our book, America Under Attack. It's offered free of charge, no cost, no obligation. Gives you the whole story. It gives you God's perspective. As I say, it's been a remarkable year as far as fulfilled prophecy is concerned. We chatted a few weeks back with Lee Smith. This was from his evening event at Armstrong Auditorium. Notice what he said here about the Dear Leader, clip 4.
But the most important part of this campaign of political violence was initiated in January 2017 when Barack Obama signed off on an intelligence community assessment saying that Donald Trump had been helped to the White House by Vladimir Putin. And if you step back for a second and realize how incredibly destructive that is, what it says is that a person elected by Americans wasn't actually elected by Americans. He was put in place by a foreign power. And so the people who thought they were voting for Donald Trump, who thought they were supporting Trump, were either unwitting dupes or they were willing conspirators in an effort to undermine the foundations of the country. That was obscene. And what that did, that is what split the country. Look, we've had political violence here in the United States before. We've had other assassinations. We've had violent street protests. But that in itself, a president of the United States, why a former president would poison our public sphere like that, why he would design to drive Americans against each other, is a very important fact that I want to draw attention to. Because I think it's very important for us moving forward to understand exactly what happened. And that's the purpose, that's really the purpose of the book, to tell the story of the last 8 years fully, and that includes putting Barack Obama in the middle of it.
That's why we were so interested in inviting him to our campus here, because he doesn't stop short of Barack Obama. He exposes Obama. He's referring there at the end to his recent book, Disappearing the President. They very nearly blotted out Donald Trump. He was silenced. Lee Smith writes all about that in his book. Listen again to what he said. This is from, I believe, December 11, clip 5.
I'm sure it seems strange to many people, as it does to me, that Barack Obama, for instance, is the first president, former president of the United States, to stay in Washington, D.C., since Woodrow Wilson. And that was over a century ago. And Wilson suffered a stroke midway through his second term. You know, Mrs. Wilson was actually the president of the United States for most of Wilson's second term. Barack Obama decided to stay in Washington at the beginning of his second term in 2013. And of course, while the press reported on it at the time, no one really remarked that it was strange that he would do such a thing. Well, it is strange. And the reason that presidents move from Washington, D.C. is because the last thing that any of them have ever wanted to do was to leave Americans with the impression that they were somehow still involved with politics, and that they might have interfered with the transfer of executive authority as invested by the American electorate. But that's precisely what Barack Obama did.
He's big on January 5. That's really what, if the regime media were honest, instead of going on and on and on about January 6, January 6, January 6, they should be talking about January 5th. That was in 2017. That's when Obama and his dirty cops plotted to bring down the presidency of Donald Trump. And for 4 years, they didn't quite succeed. But they harassed him. They persecuted Trump. They tried to slow him down every step of the way. And Obama had great success because of his DOJ, because of his FBI, because they answered to the dear leader. One final quote. This is number six.
You know, up until Russiagate, I had a hard time explaining to people, what do you mean Obama shares values with the Iranians? But now with Russiagate, you can see, right? Because he spied on his political enemies. That's third world. This is third world thinking. It's a third world person. So a third world regime, right, reflected back to him his ideas about how the world should work. And he actually talked about the Iranians all the time. Right, he told the Arabs at one meeting, the Arabs, you know, the Arabs are allies of ours because they share some of our, not as many of our values as the Brits or the French, but some of them. And, you know, the Arabs were scared about the Iranians and Obama's love for them. Said they were worried about Qasem Soleimani, you know, the pinky ring guy. And Obama said, well, you should start your own Quds force with Qasem Soleimani. And the Arabs were horrified. They're like, you mean you want us to start an international terror group? I thought post 9/11 that was all about how you don't want us doing anything like this. And now you want us to do it? So yeah, but for him, a man like Qasem Soleimani, a hard man who goes around and kills, you know, all of your enemies, that was a good thing for Barack Obama. So yeah, now I think his voice is getting tinnier and tinnier, and his appearance is going away. Many people have remarked on the fact that he looks like he's not well. Mm. I don't think it's not that he's not well. I think that he's just absorbed a lot of blows of late.
Right.
He's talking there about the dear leader, Barack Obama, who's now absorbing the blows. His voice is being diminished. And of course, as we've said over and again, my father was talking about this past summer, God intervening to silence Obama. Donald Trump, speaking of his greetings to his enemies, he sent one out yesterday. This was another one where he said, when you see the guy who said you'll never be president at your inauguration, there he is trolling the dear leader, Donald Trump. Smirking, looking at Obama. Obama, remember, he was the one on the funny show that said he'll never be president, Donald Trump. He mocked him at that press correspondence dinner. And Donald Trump just sat there quietly, bit his tongue. Now look at how the tables have turned. And so abruptly, so dramatically, so quickly. We played this for you yesterday on the show. This is Patrick Bet-David talking about the biggest loser coming out of November 5. This is clip 7.
November 5th may have been a great day for many of you, conservatives and Republicans. It may have been a great day for President Donald Trump. It may have been a great day with the Avengers that they put together himself. But November 5th, listen to me, folks, was the worst day ever for one person. You know who that one person was? Barack Obama. Not Kamala, Barack Obama. Kamala's not a top 20 player on the Democratic Party. Let me say one more time. She is not a top 20 player. Barack Obama was number one. Go back and think about his track record. Winning. 2004. You know, it doesn't matter if you're black or white or if you're Hispanic or you're this or you're that. This is about America. This is about unification. Boom! Wins, books, making money on top of the world, two-term president, face of the Democratic Party, goes to all these Jimmy Kimmel, Jimmy Fallon shows. Everybody loves him. George Clooney, celebrities, he's a rock star. He's the black Jesus for the Democratic Party. This was the worst day of his life, November 5th. Here's why, though. Let me tell you why. No one's interested in what he has to say anymore.
No one's interested? Wow. They went from swooning to ignoring the dear leader. How did this happen? Well, God has shed some light, going back to what Tucker said there. The devil hates being exposed. And so they've gone silent. This is from the Wall Street Journal. Emotional breakdowns in private meetings over the election results, hand-wringing over whether to attend the inauguration, clashing over next steps, and a fatigued and frustrated base. These are challenging days for Democrats ahead of Donald Trump's return to the White House. Their party has yet to land on a clear message or a return to the, on a clear message or a leading messenger, leaving the president-elect mostly unchallenged, even as Republicans expose their own vulnerabilities and divisions when Trump nearly derailed a stopgap funding deal with last-minute demands. I mean, the Republican Party has its own issues, as it notes. But the Democrats are in disarray. They have no messenger. They have no message. They're unpopular. Speaking of favorability ratings, those are plummeting, too, for Democrats, for the Democrat Party. Our book, In America Under Attack, by the way, just to, again, plug this, there's a section in there on Amos 7. We talk so often about 2 Kings 14 and God intervening. He looks at the bitter affliction and he says, I'm not going to let them blot this out. They would have blotted out even the name. I mean, it was a fundamental transformation. And the dear leader very nearly pulled it off. Well, he talks about Amos 7 in here and says that, you know, when you get to the middle of that prophecy, the Antiochus character just disappears. He's not mentioned after, I think it's verse 6 or 7. My father says, what happened to the political Antiochus? There's a definite shift that suggests a major change in America. We're entering into a different era. The earlier verses prophesied of the Antiochus in the nation who is fighting to destroy Jeroboam. And suddenly we have another Antiochus who's fighting to help, who's fighting rather to try to help Jeroboam survive. It says, thus we see that Satan forsakes one of his Antiochus types and jumps to another. He says, from Amos 7:7 on, we see no hint of the political Antiochus. That's referring to Barack Obama. He has in parentheses. It says, will God remove him when Jeroboam wars? That's picking up the language in 2 Kings 14, where it says Jeroboam had to war to recover what was rightfully his. And then my father says, what, just to read it again, will God remove Antiochus or will he remove Obama when Jeroboam wars? That's in America Under Attack. We played this, speaking of my father's writings, in a lot of his speaking. He's talked about Obama being removed or Obama's voice being silenced. We played this one for you. I think it was on last Friday's show. Play clip 8.
And that's the two terms, presidential terms of Barack Obama. And now you can add to that his ruling of Mr. Biden, his ruling over him once again. But that isn't going to last very long, I do believe. He's getting too much power, and God is going to have to do something, and I think he's already started moving things, and the tide is turning. You would think, well, maybe God would have to, in some way, remove Barack Obama before we could ever have enough peace to bring Trump back to his job. But you can imagine, if he's out of the way, maybe he'd lose his power just by Satan passing on to another Antiochus, helping Jeroboam. You could see that the Supreme Court and other authorities like that would not be so fearful if something like that were to happen. But it is getting to be where it seems like God is going to have to do something rather dramatic to straighten things out and get Trump back to his job. So we'll have to see how things go there, but I think he has to be removed. I wrote in America Under Attack that he's talking about the Antiochus, but God doesn't mention the Antiochus. Why is that? He doesn't mention him here, and yet that's exactly the one he's talking about, and the reason he didn't use Antiochus is because he's beginning to silence Antiochus, and it is changing before our eyes. And you can see that in the news. He's setting out to blot out the name of Israel. And now God is giving him a taste of his own evil. He's blotting out what he has and the power he has. So he's in the process of silencing this political Antiochus. He is totally out of it. He is going down fast. And you can see it. Obama is being silenced. He's not all the way there, but in the end of all this, he's going to be, this verse, he really is going to be totally silenced.
As early as 2021, you saw there, he was talking about Obama just having too much power and how that God was going to have to intervene. He's been saying it over the years. It's in America Under Attack. We had a long article, by the way, in September for the Trumpet magazine. The Supreme Court has fulfilled Bible prophecy. It says here, watch the rise of Donald Trump and the fall of Barack Obama. That's from September. Tomorrow's News Today. That was probably prepared, you know, back in the middle of the summer. Back in August, that article, I mean. We worked that far in advance with these issues. You know, just looking at the covers on the table here. All these Trumpet magazines. Rule of law, why the president will prevail. That's from January of 2021 when we were saying President Trump will prevail. President Trump will come back. We were saying it when nobody else was. This was from early on in the fake presidency about the dear leader. Who's running the show? Evidence builds of the real power behind the White House. Barack Obama. This is from 2022, I believe. Barack Obama running the show, pulling the strings, the puppet master. Tomorrow's News Today. Look at this, chaos by design. It was all part of the plan. Afghanistan, that withdrawal wasn't an accident. That was part of the fundamental transformation. This one here, why is God protecting this man? This was after the assassination attempt in July. The little head tilt. If you haven't subscribed yet to the Trumpet magazine, make sure you call our operators and request a free one-year subscription. The number 1-866-930-3024. How about this one? Ready for war. This was January 2023. Trump's going to have to fight his way back. Trump's going to have to war his way back. He's going to have to war to recover what's his. Well, the man took a bullet this year. All of that in the Trumpet magazine, this article from September. My father says, I have come to realize that the reason God does not mention this modern day type of Antiochus in this passage, speaking of the last half of Amos 7, is that he's beginning to silence this man. Barack Obama's power is diminishing before our eyes. We wrote that well before the election. How much power would Obama have right now had they pulled off another election steal? He would have continued right on with the bitter affliction, unleashing bitter affliction on America through the border, through the economy, through crime. It didn't happen. God didn't let it happen. Why is God, like the one cover says there, why is God protecting this man? You have to think he was preparing him all the way back to the apprentice years in the 1990s. You know, why would you call yourself white trash? Come on now. I don't like it. In fact, you're fired. Trump doesn't like that sort of self-hatred. He's a patriot. Has been from the beginning. Who knows how early on in the process God started working to lay the groundwork for this man's first presidency and then the second one, where he had to war to recover what was his. This September article says, Barack Obama has wielded so much power during his presidency against Donald Trump's presidency and through Joe Biden's illegitimate presidency. God is deeply bothered by how Satan used this man to destroy America from the inside. And now he's begun to put a stop to it. That man is going down fast. He is being exposed and silenced. This is why people don't listen to him anymore, because he's been exposed. He's a traitor. That's been exposed. Finally, so much of this evil, this filth, is being exposed. It says, a big part of silencing Obama will be the return of Donald Trump to his presidency, which I have forecast ever since the 2020 election coup. See, here's the real insurrection, plotted by the dear leader, January 5th, 2017. The real insurrection. Obama has been able to manipulate and use Biden, but now finally, we're starting to see some opposition within the Democratic Party. It says leading Democrats like those at the New York Times are showing signs of being at loggerheads with Obama. I mean, even George Clooney doesn't like him anymore. How did this happen? They were just partying together over the summer, a campaign fundraiser for the fake president, all on stage together. And now Clooney, he doesn't want to have anything to do with him. He's gone. He's been silenced. This is what we wrote back in March of 2023 at the Trumpet. The article, War in 24. The Trumpet still expects the theft of the 2020 election to be fully exposed for Barack Obama and Joe Biden's power to dwindle and for Donald Trump to return to the presidency. I'd say that's a pretty accurate forecast. God did intervene. We had an article back in 2020. My father wrote about the dangerous new age of worshiping the will. You look at the movement behind Barack Obama. I mean, we lived through a long period of will worship. Now, that's not to say we've repented of our many sins. Far from it. This is why God brought Trump back, so that we could look at ourselves, so that we can consider our ways, so that we can turn to God in humility and repentance. But to see that will worship, at least in this case, the swooning, all that, to see that addiction really broken, severed, split apart, it is liberating. Jesus said, the truth is what sets you free. My father said in that June 2020 article, American politics are in a state of hysteria. There's a deadly reason so many people are adopting insane ideas. Paul reveals what happens when you worship the human will. It leads to essentially worshiping demons. That's because the human mind is so vulnerable to Satan's broadcasting, deception, and influence, especially when full of vanity. When you are full or saturated with pride and vanity, that really does open up your mind to demonic thinking. Jeremiah 17 says that we're to trust no man, put our trust, our faith in God. Satan is just surcharging the air with his attitudes, his impulses, like it says in Ephesians 2 and verse 2, of hatred and strife and bitterness, anger. Colossians 2 and verse 18, this is what my father discussed in that dangerous new age of worshiping the will, that article from 2020. But Paul says here in verse 18 of Colossians 2, let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of demons, intruding into those things which he has seen, really, it should read, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. You see, people can, even the talking heads, they can get on on their programs and sound very righteous and sound like they're filled with humility. But that's not true. They're deceived by their vanity. Barnes' commentary says, the meaning is that they would not announce their opinions with dogmatic certainty, but they would put on the appearance of great modesty. It's fake, in other words. It's fake. Yeah, we're patriots. We're just trying to uphold the law. Well, we had to spy and do these things because there's so many bad people in the Trump administration. No, you're just bad actors. You're dirty cops. You're traitors. It says in this way, they would become really more dangerous. For no false teachers are so dangerous as those who assume the aspect of great humility and who manifest great reverence for divine things. Satan himself fancies himself as a humble being, but he's not. He's not. Those who are filled with pride and vanity, they love to, as this verse says, we just read it, to volunteer their humility. Oh, yes. Yeah, we're humble over here at MSNBC or CNN or at this government agency. Verse 23 in the Revised Standard, Paul says here, these have indeed an appearance of wisdom in promoting rigor of devotion and self-abasement and severity to the body, but they are of no value in checking the indulgence of the flesh. It has a show of wisdom. It looks like it's righteous. It's very similar to what Paul describes in 2 Corinthians 11. This great false religious system that has a Jesus, it's a false Jesus. It has false apostles, false ministers, a false gospel. It's a whole system. It's a complex. And it's fake. It's not grounded on the truth of God. It's grounded in Ephesians 2 and verse 2, in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4. Satan sees himself as a religious being. He volunteers his humility all the time. But it's not true humility. Back up to verse 6. It says, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk you in him. Here's the way out of deception. Here's the way out of lies, corruption. 1 John 2:6 says, he that says he abides in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. As I was saying yesterday on the program, if you consider yourself a true Christian, well, then the direction that you're walking in, spiritually speaking, is all important. We're to follow in the steps of Christ. He is the way, John 14:6. 1 Peter 2, verse 21. He left us an example. Verse 7, just coming back here to Colossians chapter 2, it says in verse 7, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. You see, rooted and grounded in Christ, in Jesus Christ, in that perfect example. My father wrote this in the God Family Vision. He said, we must love this teaching so much that we become rooted and grounded in it. This is also a warning. It says, the problem with the Laodiceans today is they're not rooted and grounded in truth. Satan will always fight to keep us from becoming rooted and grounded in God, the God of judgment. Satan wants to get us off of a solid foundation. He wants us looking to men. He wants us putting our trust, our faith in men. And he is a deceitful being. The human heart. Look at how deceitful it is. It's desperately wicked, said the prophet Jeremiah. It's just seeking after sin and the ways of sin. here in verse 8. This is Colossians 2 still. It says, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." You see, beware. If any of them bring, you know, any other gospel than what I've brought to you, as Paul said in Galatians 1, then let that false preacher, that false minister, come under a double curse. There is such a thing as a false gospel. If they encountered this, Paul and the others, if they encountered this movement, this fake religion in the first century, 2,000 years ago, what do you think we're going up against today? We better be careful just to go right along with some religious movement that claims to be righteous, that volunteers its humility. God says, prove all things. Don't just receive it. Don't just swallow it all the way through because it maybe sounds good or it looks good on the outside. Is it grounded in the truth? Is it rooted and grounded in Jesus Christ, in his life, in what he taught? That's all that matters. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 19 says, "For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God." It says, "For it is written, he takes the wise in their own craftiness." They think they're wise, the scholars of this world. Science, falsely so-called, as Paul said to Timothy. But look at how many lies, just in these last few years, have been vigorously promoted by, you know, mainstream movements, by academia, by celebrities, by the talking heads. 1 Thessalonians 5:21, "Prove all things and hold fast to that which is good." Man would rather hold fast to humanly devised traditions than anything that is of God or of the Bible. This is what Jesus said in Mark 7. I think I might have given you this yesterday, but it says, "Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God," Christ said, "you hold the tradition of men, as the washing of pots and cups, and many other such like things you do." And he said to them, verse 9, "Full well you reject the commandment of God, that you may keep your own tradition." You see, we reject God, we reject God's commandments in favor of our own traditions, our own humanly devised traditions. It's not grounded or rooted in the truth. It's not founded on that sure foundation that is Jesus Christ, his life and his teachings. If you're going to call yourself a Christian, as the Apostle John said there in 1 John 2, then you better be prepared to follow along in the steps of Jesus Christ. I have 15 seconds. I can hurry through an email. This one here: "As my wife and I were watching your program about the Panama Canal, something came to mind that you may consider. It says the U.S. sacrificed many lives building it and financed the project. Then Jimmy Carter in 1977 gratuitously gifted it back to the Panamanian government for just peanuts." Love your broadcast. Watch it daily. It enriches our understanding of God's purpose for all of us. If you'd like to email the show, you can reach us at td@thetrumpet.com. That's all we have time for on today's show, the fastest moving hour in broadcasting. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. Thanks for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you tomorrow.